Well, this morning we are going to continue our march through Hebrews. We're in chapter 11 of Hebrews, and we're taking our time as we look at chapter 11 to look at the faith of many of the patriarchs that are listed there. Today we're going to look at the faith of Abraham. So if you'll open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, that would be good. And so the theme is this morning with Abraham is by faith. By faith, Abraham did a number of things. And we're going to examine that. And because it's been a while since we took the Christmas break and did the Advent, since we explored the faith of Abel and Enoch and Noah, I would like you to look at the first three verses of chapter 11 where the writer defines faith. He says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their condemnation. And by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that were invisible." So the key concept there that we look at in chapter 11 is that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now if you think about it, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Joseph and Moses, none of those ever received the promises God made to them during their lifetime. They believed in the coming Messiah and lived by faith, believing in the promises of God and that those promises would be fulfilled. And yet, none of the people mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 actually received what they were told they would receive while they were alive. By this fact and the other verses of Scripture, we shouldn't think all the promises that are yet to be fulfilled of God will be fulfilled in your lifetime. They could be. But don't think that they must be. And so, you know, as Peter wrote, Peter said in chapter 3, verses 8 to 10, he said, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." Then he says in verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." So, if you believe in God's promises, the question becomes then, are you living by faith as God asks? Are you ready this day for Christ's return? He could come back anytime, today, 5 years, 50 years. But scriptures are clear. We are to live each and every day as if Christ is coming back. And so the thrust of this text here in chapter 11 about Abraham is that he believed God, he believed God's promises, and he obeyed what God told him. I mean, think about it. Abraham left his home not knowing where he was going. He sojourned on the earth as a foreigner his whole life and never had permanent roots. Abraham died believing the promises of God, but actually never saw the promises come to pass. Abraham lived by faith, and he lived out his faith. Abraham died before God's promises were fulfilled, you might die before Christ returns. But that does not mean God's promise of Christ's return will not be fulfilled. We have seen some of God's promises fulfilled. For example, believers in God the Father and God the Son over the millennium since Christ can be counted like the stars in the heavens or the sands on the seashore. Believers over since Christ rose from the grave are almost beyond count. Also, Abraham clearly understood a truth that we need to also understand in our day and time. Let me begin by reading at verse 9. It says, by faith, Abraham went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Jacob and Isaac, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Now, if you'll drop down to verse 16, it says, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. See, Abraham understood he was but a sojourner on this earth on his way to heaven. Heaven was the goal, not necessarily the promised land. Heaven is always the goal. So how about you? Do you understand that this world is temporary? That when we have all this political confusion, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, that it is only temporary? Your goal is not this life. Your goal should be heaven. See, and Abraham, because of his faith, Abraham journeyed into the unknown. Immediately, two things from our passage become clear that we need to understand about the relationship between God and Abraham. Reading at verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs, and with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has a foundation and whose designer and builder is God. So the first thing revealed about Abraham was that he was called by God. And the second thing that we understand is Abraham obeyed. If it is God who takes the initiative when it comes to our salvation, and God always has had his plan, and he's always had his plan under control, and it's going to play out exactly the way God has determined for the salvation of mankind. So in Abraham's case, he was called by God and he acts out in faith. God gave the Apostle Paul an understanding of this process. When we read in Romans chapter 8, it says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those who he called, he also justified. And those who he justified, he also glorified. Abraham heard God's call, and he obeyed. God chose Abraham out of all the pagans in Ur. Why? I don't know. Because God determined it to be so. And so, God's whole goal, even though this is Old Testament, what you have to understand, God's whole goal with Abraham was that Abraham should be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. as we have spoken about the fruit of the Spirit, and that's an outward sign of the conversion and transformation people take when they start believing in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, there is another sign according to the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Abraham saw Christ from afar, and he loved him, and he spent his life obeying God's calling. So that brings up the question, here we are generations and generations from Abraham, but the calling is still the same. Are you going to live by faith like Abraham? If you say you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, are you living in a life of obedience to the Word of God? Are you living for God's glory? Are you telling the lost about Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? See, if you read Abraham all the way through Genesis and even into the book of Numbers, you see that one of the things Abraham did, even though he failed at times, when he traveled, he told people of God. See, the world has always been a difficult place. Abraham was challenged at times, and at times he stood firm and strong. At other times, Abraham made some mistakes and sinned. But the thing we see as we read about Abraham, that always his heart desired God, because by faith he believed in the coming of Jesus Christ. Obedience to God is critical. When confronted by the Jews who wanted to live as they desired, Jesus spoke of his authority because before Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, Jesus always was. The Jews asked Jesus, they said, "Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" And Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. But I know him. And if I were to say that I do not know him, being God, I would be a liar just like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So here Jesus Christ is telling us that Abraham knew he was coming. God had revealed to Abraham there would be a Messiah. So after Jesus said this, it says, "The Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?' And Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.'" So they pick up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. See, the Jews trusted their future in that they were descendants of Abraham. But Abraham was just a man. He lived. He died. Jesus, on the other hand, is eternal. Yet, they had no faith. Abraham believed God and acted on what he knew and believed to be true. It is faith that connects us to God. When God told Abraham to leave his home, he didn't tell him anything else about his new home. And perhaps that was because God knew Abraham would never have a permanent home on this earth. God may not lay out everything in your life in detail, but if you are living by faith, you will follow His commands. We may not see the whole journey. We may only see the next step in front of us. But faith tells us that the journey will be worth the effort because it is a journey with God. Abraham believed by faith the journey God called him to would be worth it. Reading again in verse 9, it says, by faith he went out to live in the land of promise as a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him to the same promise. Abraham believed and he was obedient and went forth by faith. We all recognize that Abraham fell short of the mark, don't we? I mean, we've all looked at Genesis. For example, twice Abraham posed as Sarah's brother because of fear. At the same time, we also recognize Abraham never turned back. He was a man of faith, even though he stumbled at times. Our lives are of faith, just like Abraham's, which means our lives, too, are marked with times of weakness and sin. But are we to continue or not the faith and the journey of God? It's kind of like, you know, on a dark night, especially out here where there's not a lot of streetlights, on a dark night you can look over at the Sandias and you can see the glow of the lights from Albuquerque. Abraham saw the glow of the heavenly city far off that God told him about. And he desired to be in that city by faith. And so he kept on in the journey because he desired that city of God. This is where verse 10 comes into play, and it says, for he was looking forward to the city that has as its foundations and whose designer and builder is God. Like Abraham, we are to stay faithful to God. We are to know that just like Abraham, we too are sojourners in this world. This is not our true home. Our true home is heaven, the city designed by God. Abraham's life was lived by faith and trust, as Paul wrote. He said in Romans chapter 4, what then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For it was Abraham who was justified by works. He has something to boast about, but not before God. For what the Scripture says, Abraham believed in God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And the one who does not work, but believes in him who justified the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. And he says then in verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. See, Abraham left his home not to earn salvation. He left his home because God called him to, and he chose to be obedient and believe in the promises of God. Like Abraham, do you believe in the promises of God? Are you living by faith? You know, God chose Abraham. We don't know why, but think about it. Why did God choose you? I mean, you certainly didn't earn salvation. You certainly didn't deserve salvation. But praise God, because He had such a deep love for us, He sent His Son. And through believing in His Son as Lord and Savior, we gain salvation. As Abraham's faith began to operate, as he did what God told him to do, He saw that city of inheritance. He saw the lights in the sky from the tent in heaven and knew that God had created the heavens, and he longed for that city that God made. And never once in the scriptures do we read, even with all the faults Abraham had, that he ever turned and wanted to go back to Ur. See, the big difference between Abraham longing for the city designed by God and the Jews who God brought out of Egypt in slavery is unbelief. The Jews were brought out of Egypt in slavery, and yet later we know they desired to be slaves again and go back to Egypt. You can read about it in Exodus 17 or Numbers chapter 14. See, all those people who left Egypt could do is look back in unbelief. And all Abraham could do is look forward in faith. So let me ask, are you longing for the city of God? Do you see yourself as a foreigner and a sojourner on earth? God may not be calling us to leave our homes, although he does call some to do that. They go in the mission field in foreign countries. Some are called to stay and to go to countries and plant churches and be foreigners in a strange land. But others are called to remain at home and serve the Lord here. All of us are called to live as foreigners on this earth because heaven is our real home. Do you really, in your heart of hearts, looking at all the politics, looking at all the deception, all the corruption, all the wars, do you want to call this home? By faith, we can look and see the city built by God we call heaven. Don't you long to be there? I do. I pray the Lord will continue working in each one of us and be patient with us like he was patient with Abraham. And that he will wean us off our dependence on this world. And we will learn how to have a heavenly view. And then while we traverse this world, we will share the gospel with the lost. So by faith, Abraham obeyed God and left Ur. By faith, we should live in obedience to whatever God calls us to, and we should keep our vision on heaven and not this world. See, Abraham lived the way he did because he believed the promises of God. God's promises are for both men and women. We are spiritually equal before God as we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. But God has called men and women to different roles in this world. Let me read about the amazing gift that Sarah received from God in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she was considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars in heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand on the seashore. What a miracle and blessing. Let's travel back in time a little bit, though. Let's go to Genesis chapter 18, where Abraham and Sarah experience a theophany. They said to Abraham, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She's in the tent." The Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have had a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah, which means she had already gone through menopause. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? And the Lord said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old? See, is anything too hard for the Lord? And at the appointed time, I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. See, the important concept to grasp here, nothing, absolutely nothing is too hard for God. There are miracles all over this world, even today, if we will only open our eyes and hearts to them. God is doing amazing things. It does not matter if we're observing this miracle of an old woman who is past menopause and now, by a miracle of God, conceives and has a son. See, God controls every detail of human history, of human life. His plan of salvation, the return of Christ, the defeat of Satan, will happen exactly as God has determined. We read of God's promise to Abraham and Sarah fulfilled in a few chapters later in chapter 21 of Genesis. It says, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord said to Sarah as he had promised, and Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. See, Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore, Isaac. Now, does anybody know what Isaac means? Laughter, because it goes back when God told her she was going to have a baby and she laughed. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Again, Abraham's obedient, may not have understood why, but he did it, right? Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And Sarah said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in my old age. Man, a lot happens in that year. First, they meet God in what's called an epiphany, where God comes to earth and appears as human. Sarah went from disbelief and laughing to the truth, actually conceiving and then later giving birth to Isaac, the son of promise. Now, Sarah and Abraham had tried to take matters into their own hands. First, it tells us that they believed Eleazar, Abraham's servant, would be there because they had no children. And God said, no, that's not going to happen. Then Sarah gives Hagar to her husband Abraham, and that created some problems, didn't it? God's plan could not be controlled or changed by the acts of people. Their efforts created Ishmael, which, quite frankly, created problems. Not for God, but for the chosen of God, Ishmael and his descendants have been a problem for thousands of years now. God made a promise in chapter 15 of Genesis, and it would happen, and it would be. He said, behold, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. Remember, at this point, Abraham and Sarah aren't even thinking about children because they're old. And the Lord brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven. Number the stars if you are able to count them. Then the Lord said to Abraham, so shall your offspring be. And Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Why? Because of faith. If left to themselves, Isaac would have never been born. However, we know nothing is too hard for God, absolutely nothing. So with God, he orchestrated everything. And about a year later, an infant cries and was heard in the nursery of old Abraham and withered and dried out old Sarah, who now has a child and feels blessed. God promises are always fulfilled. The question is, do we live by faith and obedience to God, or do we cause problems for ourselves trying to take matters into our own hands, just like Abraham and Sarah? As Paul instructed concerning Abraham, he said, in hope he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No, unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith, and he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses, raised for our justification. See, God is the God of promises kept. And even as Sarah observed, she said, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I be so blessed. See, Isaac came and nothing is impossible. So what we see in this passage, Abraham was an example to all generations, not just that time, but to us this very day. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob all died in faith, not having received the things promised by God. This is important for us to consider. While alive, they acknowledged that they were waiting for the better city designed by God. So how does that impact us this very day? Well, let me start reading at verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. And if they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have an opportunity to return. But, as it is, they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. See, God promised Abraham that he would be the father of nations, and that his offspring would be numerous as the stars, and all the nations of the world would be blessed through him. Yet, while alive, Abraham did not receive the promise. God promised a land all his life. He dwelt in tents. God promised a multitude of descendants, and yet when Abraham died, he had just two sons, one of disobedience and one of promise. Abraham also had some grandsons, but these certainly were not a nation or nations. He died not having received what God promised. The promise concerning the land was then repeated by God to his son Isaac, and then Isaac's son Jacob. And neither of these men received the promise while they were alive. They knew that in time God would fulfill all that he promised, so they lived as aliens and wanderers on this earth by faith until their death. Abraham was much happier wandering as a nomad, waiting on God, than he would have been if he had ever gone back to Ur and put down roots. Abraham and his descendants lived in tents while looking at the promised land. These verses are written and there for us this very day, for you and me. My beloved, Will you read them and study them and feel that God is telling you you should imitate the faith of Abraham? There's also a sequel to this story. As one of the radio commentators used to say, now here's the rest of the story. Jesus refers to it when he encountered the Sadducees. The Sadducees were a bunch of Judaism lawyers and leaders, and they, like lawyers today, they were always looking for loopholes and trying to manipulate the situation to their own advantage. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees believed when a person died, that was the end. They were, and there was no eternal life. But as educated as the Sadducees were, they were no match for Jesus. Reading from Matthew chapter 22, it says, "The same day the Sadducees came to Jesus, and they said to him, 'There is no resurrection.' And they asked him a question, saying, 'Teacher, Moses said if a man dies having no children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. So too the second and the third, all the way down to the seventh. After them the woman died. In the resurrection that you say is coming, therefore, of the seven, whose wife will she be? For they all were married to her.' But Jesus answered them and said, 'You are wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection there is neither marriage nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read and what was said to you by God, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob'? He is not God of the dead, but of the living." And then when the crowd heard this, they were astonished at Jesus' teaching. Jesus was in effect saying to these teachers, these lawyers of the Jewish law, that who said there was no resurrection from the dead, he says, God is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, not 1,000 years ago, but right now. They are alive and well in the land of promise. Their eternal inheritance is currently being enjoyed by them because God is the God of the living. Remember, if Christ does not come back while you are alive on this earth, think about this. When you take your last breath, your eyes will open and you will be with God. You will be living in heaven with God and Christ forever. John Calvin wrote a letter to a woman who was a Christian but suffering from a number of physical problems. He said in the letter, "We are hence to conclude that there is no place for us among God's children, except we renounce the world. And there will be no inheritance in heaven except we become pilgrims on earth." He was telling her that she needed to quit looking at what was going on in her present life and letting it discourage her. She needed to put her eyes on heaven and seeing the promised city. See, keep in mind that the Lord cares for His children and we experience His goodness while on earth, but we also experience the collective sin of all mankind of all history. If someone gets cancer, it's not necessarily because they committed a sin. It's because the world has become polluted, not only in the air, but with viruses and things, because of man's sin. What the ultimate love and promises are to be experienced is in the life to come. We will receive some promises here, some joy here, but also we will have pain and suffering. God's ultimate love is about the life to come. do not expect heaven to be played out here on earth because it is not of earth. Do not expect, as one book says, by a Christian, a man who claims to be a Christian, do not expect your best life now. Your best life is not now. Your best life is in heaven in eternity. By faith, you can see it. There is a city waiting for us. It is the one God has prepared for all those who love Him and have accepted His Son as their Lord and Savior. Live by faith. Live each and every day in anticipation of Christ's return. Know that death does not strip Christians of God's promises, but actually brings them into full effect. My beloved, like Abraham, let it be said of our lives that we live by faith, traveling this world as sojourners, with our hope and faith for the glory to come, eternity with God. And to this I say amen and amen.